Okay, so very quickly on the parasha. Again, obviously, a lot to talk about parasha Shoftim. A very, very exciting parasha. A lot of halacha, a lot of mussar. But just one thought, a very quick thought on the opening pasuk Shoftim v'Shoftim titin l'cha. So all the commentators are bothered with the shift in the language. Shoftim v'Shoftim is plural, titin l'cha is singular. So why the switch? So the Mepharshim all explain that the Torah is telling us that you have to be your own shofet and your own shoiter. You have to, you know, be an adult to control yourself and to limit yourself and to make guidelines for yourself and to enforce them like the police would. But there's a cute shot that I came across this past week, that shoftim v'shoftim titin l'cha means before you want to judge others, you have to judge yourself. Titin l'cha in you. You have to judge others before you judge yourself. Because very often, when we come to the conclusion that I can't get along with a certain person, it's because he's wrong, he's the problem, but sometimes it's really I'm the problem. If I look inward, we'd see that sometimes we're part of the problem as well. They say over a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a cute story, where a fellow was having a shalom bayis issues with his wife. So someone gave him, he decided that he's going to give his wife a present. So he decided he's going to buy her a hearing aid. He thinks she doesn't hear him enough. So he's going to buy her a hearing aid, very romantic gift. You know, today there's a lot of other things you can get your spouse, but that was he was going to give his wife because she doesn't hear him well enough, so now she'll hear him. So he goes to the store and he asks for an aid, and they say, well, what level of deficiency does she have? How bad is her hearing? He says, I don't really know. So they tell him, go back home and test it. You know, go different, you know, feet away to be able to figure out how bad her hearing is. So he comes into the house, he screams, you know, hi, I'm home. No answer. He comes closer, you know, asks his wife, you know, hi, I'm here. No response. He gets, you know, keeps moving up closer, keeps asking questions, and he's not getting any response. So he's saying to himself, oh, the hearing must be terrible. So he gets closer and closer. Mama, she's standing in front of her. He says to her, why aren't you answering my questions? She said, I answered your questions 5 times already. The guy realized it wasn't she who had the hearing deficiency. He had the hearing deficiency. So often in life, we're always so quick to assume it's the other guy's fault, right? I can't get along with my neighbor because my neighbor is such a piece. Sometimes we're not great tzaddikim either. So the Torah is telling us, shayftim and shayftim, before you start setting up judges, titan l'cha, turn inward first. First look at yourself and see, perhaps I am the difficult one, perhaps I'm the one who's making the trouble, perhaps I'm the one who makes this relationship toxic, instead of always blaming the other person. Interesting thought as we get into, already are in Chodesh El. Okay, so today's learning should be a schos for
Esther
Sarbas, Chaya Pesel Basoich, Sha'ar Chalisa. Okay, so we left off last time. We're in the middle of a Gemara over here where we're talking about Kim Leibed Rabbi Mineh. And the typical Kim Leibed Rabbi Mineh is found when Bezdin has to give two punishments, whether it be Misa and money or Malkus and money. But we were thrown a shtickle curveball with the Chunya Ben Akana. And the Chunya Ben Akana taught us that there's another type of Kim Leibed Rabbi Mineh, which comes from Hashem, which is Karis, Misa Deshaim, which we'll develop a little bit more. What is, so to say, the lumdus of Misa V'Deh Shemayim. Obviously, we're all familiar with the concept of Karis. Karis basically means Hashem will cause a person to die. Misa V'Deh Shemayim means, B'Deyada means, Bezdin will act upon their authority to be able to give someone what we call, you know, the death penalty. So the Chonya Ben Akana came up with the Chiddush. The Chonya Ben Akana said, the same way you have Kim Leibed Rabbi Mineh in the world of Bezdin, that Bezdin can't give the death penalty and make someone pay, so too Karis. If a person is obligated, is chayiv karis or something he did wrong, and he also has a chayiv mamonis attached to it, so the Torah says he only gets one without the other. So if you remember, last week we left off with the Noydib Yehuda. The Noydib Yehuda wanted to say that although there's a concept in halacha by Kim Leib Diram Mine that is what's called a chiv lotzei sidei shemaim based on a Rashi in Baba Metzia, that even if a person has Kim Leib Diram Mine, there's still some chiv hovering overhead that he has to deal with until he's going to be able to get complete kapar in shemaim. And on top of that, Rashi told us there's something called tfisa, which means, let's say for example, Reuven kills Shimon, and while he kills Shimon, he rips his shirt. So now he has a chiv misa for killing him, and there's a chiv misa for mazik his shirt. So Bezdin can't make him pay for the shirt. However, says Rashi in Bava Metzia, that if the family would be able to go and grab the value of the shirt, they sneak into Reuven's house in the middle of the night and they take the $50 that the shirt cost, so Bezdin can't make them give it back. Why? So we explained from the Rishonim, Achronim, Eluchan, and others, because Kim Leibed Rabbeinu doesn't mean you're scot-free. Kim Leibed Rabbeinu means you're really guilty. You owe the guy a shirt, and you're chayiv misa for killing him. Just Bezdin's hands are tied. Bezdin can't give two punishments. It says in the Chumash, Bishom Risha Achas Atam Mechayiv, thank you. V'yatam Mechayim Bishom Shtei Rishayis. Bezdin's hands are not able to give two punishments. But if you want to know, are you guilty? The answer is you're very guilty. You owe the guy the money. Therefore, if you're able to grab it, you get to keep it.
Why wouldn't Torah even provide for this dispensation? rishis.
So the way we explained it, again, we still need to develop this more. It's a miut in Bezdin's ability. Now, you want to know why Torah did that? I don't know. But what I want to just bring out today is that, you know, there's two ways to look at Kimlei B'Diramine. We'll call it a Hakira. Is Kimlei B'Diramine a din in giving of the punishment? Or it's a din in the recipient of the punishment? Meaning, if Kimlei B'Diramine means that in the rules of punishment, we cannot give out two punishments. We, meaning either Bezdin or Hashem. We don't give out two punishments. Or the pshat is one person cannot receive two punishments. How do you look at it? Is it about the one giving it or is it about the one getting it? We'll see, maybe there's an afkamina. Now, by Karis, you obviously know it's not the same thing as Bezdin, because Karis is from Hashem, it's not from Bezdin. So, when Nechunya ben Akana introduced us to a new idea that when it comes to Kimlei B'Diramine, by Karis, we still say Kimlei B'Diramine. We'll see where he gets it from. So, the Noidib Yehuda told us that there's no concept of Tvisa, and there's no concept of losses de Shemayim by Karis. Why? Because the only reason why you have rights to grab the money is because you really are owed the money. But Bezdin can't give you the money because Bezdin's limited. Karis, that's not the pshat. When it comes to Karis, the pshat is Hashem just exempted you. That's it. Hashem exempted you. Hashem said you cannot, you don't have to pay. So if Hashem exempted you, you have no right to grab the money.
Is it possible the underlying concept behind Kimlei B'Diramine is that once you get the first punishment, you the tshuva. In other words, it's erased.
So Rav Chanan has this concept based on a Ramban, that when you get the bigger one, it's somehow as if you got the smaller one also. Somehow, he calls it b'chlal masayim mana, whatever that means exactly. Now again, obviously for the family that's out the money, it doesn't really add up for them, but some svar like that when you get the stronger punishment, it's included in that as the smaller punishment. Now if you say it like that, then you shouldn't be able to grab the money later. If you say it the way you're saying it.
Just because you're not getting the punishment doesn't mean the other guy still isn't entitled to get his money back.
Well again, if you're saying that you have to look at it as if he paid it, so then there should be no obligation. Right. So that's what we spoke a little bit about last week. This Rabbi Chanan, based on Ramban, that somehow when you get the larger punishment, it's as if you got the smaller punishment also. Which again, for the family that's out the money, they don't understand it because their bank account didn't change. But that's one possibility of explaining it. So we mentioned this Noidib Yehuda. Noidib Yehuda says that when it comes to Kares, there's no concept called Tfisa. You can't grab the money. Why can't you grab the money? Because the Torah exempted you. By Bezdin, the Torah didn't exempt Bezdin. The Torah didn't say that you're not obligated. The Torah said, we can't obligate him to pay. Because our limits of Bezdin are, we can only give one punishment. But you want to know if you're guilty? Yeah, you're definitely guilty. You owe the guy the money. And because you owe him the money, that's why if he grabs the money, he gets to keep it. And because you owe him the money, that's why you have a chiv lotzeis de shemayim. But says the Noidib Yehuda, you don't have that by Karis.
So he's not considered a gazan for stealing it back.
Right, he wouldn't be considered a gazan. But by Kares, let's say, for example, on Yom Kippur, person goes over to someone on Yom Kippur and he punches him in the face and he causes him to bleed and he breaks his glasses. So now you have a chi of Kares for Yom Kippur, which we'll talk more about, and you have a chi of Mominus for his glasses. So then, according to the Noidib Yehuda, if the guy would go and grab the money from him, he would have to give it back. Because Kares is different than Mises Bezdin. That was the Noidib Yehuda's chiddush.
Now, you get a kafar automatically.
He definitely need one. So
let's see. When you said he wasn't a gazman, who wasn't a gazman?
Your family members that, in other words, trying to get the $50 back for the shirt.
The grabber, the typhus.
Right. Right.
So the one who's grabbing.
So he would not be a gazman.
Well,
so
on
in a
case of Mises Bezdin, he would right. not be. But in the case of Karis, he would be, according to Noidib Yehuda. Now, I would assume, other Achrayim gave other terutzim to this, and I would assume they disagree with this chiddush of the Noidib Yehuda. Now, why? Let's try to develop this. The Noidib Yehuda is assuming that the way Kimlei B'Diramine works by Karis is fundamentally different than the way Kimlei B'Diramine works by Bezdin. By Bezdin, the pshat is you owe two things. You owe a death penalty and you owe money. But Bezdin's hands are tied. Bezdin can only do what they're allowed to do. And the Torah says you can only give one punishment. Therefore, says the Achrayim, says the Noidib Yehuda, says Rashi, Bamtzia, if you go and grab the money, we allow you to keep it. But by Karis, that's not the case. Karis is not Bezdin. Karis comes from Hashem. So there it's an exemption. Hashem is exempting you from the smaller punishment. If you're exempted, you have no right to grab it. That's the Noidib Yehuda's chiddush. Now,
wait, but when you grab it, you're back to Bezdin, who has to adjudicate that case. So
right. So Bezdin's not really going to sign off. Bezdin's just going to not take it out of you. Bezdin will never tell you you can go grab it. Bezdin,
not even a Karis case.
Yeah, so Bezdin will force you to give it back.
Why?
Because
they now have it back in their hands.
No, because they never gave the first one. They never gave the death. They're allowed to, right? Bezdin's allowed to make you pay one thing.
Right.
Bezdin can't make you pay two things. But over here, in that case, Bezdin never made you pay Karis. That came from Hashem.
So then the family member goes and steals the shirt. Now Bessin has to say, okay, what are we going to do now?
Right.
So why can't Bessin say, it now came into our hands? Not that Bessin says, go steal the shirt.
All right.
Stolen, why wouldn't they?
Right, and then Bessin will make him give it back, according to Noi de Behuda. Because as far as Bessin's concerned, we didn't make this guy pay two things. We only made him pay on the shirt. And the Torah exempted him on the shirt. As far as we're concerned, we make him pay on the shirt. Because we didn't make him get death. But since the Torah made him get the karis, and the Torah also exempted him from the payment, our hands are tied. But if he grabs it, so according to the Nei Behuda, once he grabs it, that grabbing was an illegal grab. Because the Torah exempted him. Again, let's say a person goes to a din Torah and the Bezdin Paskins, you're exempt. And then the other guy says, you know what, I'm going to take the matter into my hand and grab it. Of course you're a ganef. You can't just take the matter into your own hands whenever you want. You only have rights of tfisa when we can still explain that you have some rights to this money. The moment we conclude that you have no rights to the money, tfisa is no longer an option. So that's the Noi de Behuda's chiddush.
I missed a couple of shurim. I think we touched on it before. But there's a difference between Bezin not having the power to say you owe the money versus Bezin having the power to say you owe the money, but we don't have the power to make you pay it. Right? We can't enforce it.
It's like
the courts always say, you know, yes, that's the rule, but we're going to not enforce it right now.
That's really our hakira. I think that's really one of our hakiras to have Kimberly Dramini work. Is it Pshad that Bezin says, listen, you, the guy gets the death penalty and he owes the money. He owes the money like anyone else owes the money. But we're limited in our ability. That's the simple way of reading it. We're limited in our ability to give, to enforce that money, and therefore you're going to be exempt. That's one
or
way to
understand. We literally can't hold that he's chayav.
Or the pshat is the Torah exempted you completely from the mamonis. What would the nafkamina be? Whether or not someone can grab it.
Right.
If you say the first way, Bezin says, listen, my hands are tied, but between me and you, this guy's guilty. So then if the guy goes and circumvents the court system, he gets to keep it. But if the pshat is that kimli dramina is a ptur, it's exeris akos, the Torah says, you get the bigger one, you don't get the smaller one, end of story. So then even if you grab it, you shouldn't have rights to it. That's really the major chakira when working with Kim Leibidir Amini. How do you understand this? Is it just a karplanchet that the Torah says, bigger punishment, swallows up the smaller punishment, finish, you're done. Now, to make things more complicated, is what happens when you don't actually get the bigger punishment. Let's say, for example, a case of Shoigig. Reuven kills Shimon accidentally. Not on purpose. And while he's accidentally killing Shimon, he breaks his glasses and rips his shirt. So now, Kim Leibidir Amini sets it into effect. What can Leib Ramine? He's not getting the death penalty. He's a shaygig. So that's a big sugya, which we have to get to. The Gemara later on is going to talk about it. The Gemara has a drasha that in that case, we also say Kim Leib Ramine. Even by Chayve Misa Shoigigin, at least according to Tana de Bechizkiya, we also say Kim Leib Ramine.
Okay, one more question.
Yeah.
So, this is actually fascinating. So, according to the Ma'at Yomar holds that the Torah exempts you. Right, so you're not chayiv for having stolen this, right? So the guy can't come and take it from you. You're exempt.
Well, it's exempt, and he's not allowed to grab it, right?
Okay, but does the exemption mean that the guy that stole it in the first place has a bialis on it? In other words, just because he's exempt from a punishment doesn't mean he has bialis on it. He never didn't make a kinyan. It was never his. The other guy wasn't.
Are we referring to the grabber or the grabby?
The thief who's chayav kares and for stealing.
And the guy. Let's keep the case simple. The guy punches someone in the face and breaks his glasses. So now he's chayav misa on Shabbos. It's on Shabbos, right?
That's not the example because I want to talk about something like the money.
Okay, we're gonna get to that in the next Gemara. But okay, good.
So if you stole the money, so I understand that good. Either Bezin says you're really chayav, but we can't enforce it. Okay, that's one view,
mm-hmm.
Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you did something else that gave you a bigger punishment, you are exempt from the secondary punishment.
Correct.
But being exempt from the secondary punishment doesn't mean that you have bialis on the item. When you took it, how did you acquire it? What was the kinyan?
So
why shouldn't the other guy be able to take it back from you, even though you're exempt because you never had bialis on it?
So there is such a concept called kinyani gneva. Sometimes it's possible that a ganev could sometimes be able to acquire something even in the process of theft. Which means if we can explain that he has no chiv to return it, so then by the mere fact that he picked it up, might maybe make it his. Okay. Well, again, we're going to talk about your case later on. The next Amud in the Gemara, we'll talk about cases of theft while Misa.
Yeah, my one question is, in the course after killing Reuven, you damaged Shimon.
Yeah.
Does killing the rabbi may apply to the murder?
I
killed the guy, so I'm chayv Misa. At the same moment, I ripped...
someone else's.
Yeah, I shot him. For the same, you know, victim.
That's a good question. I don't remember. I don't know if the Gemara talks about it. It could be. This is what happens when we learn only five lines a week. You know, this could be another Gemara in the next time, and I never saw yet. At least I haven't seen it in a bunch of years. I don't remember. It's a good question. I don't remember. It could be a Gemara for Reshus. I just don't remember. But
why
it's a good question.
Make a difference who it's to? Because at the end of the day, it goes Klap Ishmael and Aliyah. In other words, that cut is for.
Well, again, but if it's to the person,
I thought it was good.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say Bechlal Masai Mon if it's a different person. Right. It can't be. I'm Chayiv Misa what I did to Reuven, and that Tashlumin somehow helps for Shimon.
No. But at the end of the day, it's what you did. Does it go on you or does it go on the person?
That's part of the Al-Zeh Anudonim. That's what we're trying to figure out.
That's right.
I'm not sure. That's right. How do we look at it? If it's a din in the recipient, it's part of my original hakir, right? It's a good point. If it's a din in the recipient, then no person can have to pay twice, so it shouldn't matter. But it's not, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It seems like it's two different Kimmel and Rabbi Kimmel altogether.
By Karis and
Karis and Mrs. Bishop.
Good.
So the Fakira doesn't really fit.
So the question is, so we have to figure out how Reb Nechunya ben Hakana worked his way back to Misa to understand the Kimmel Rabbanei. You want to say that he had two lomdas in Kimmel. There's one lomdas by Misa b'day Adam, there's another lomdas by Karis. We're going to get to that hopefully in a few minutes to see if that's true. It's probably true, but we'll see. Maybe we can work around that.
I don't know how you don't call Kimmel the Rabbanei when Hashem.
Oh, good. Unless you learn Kimlei D'Ramanei is not a din in the giver, but it's a din in the recipient. If Kimlei D'Ramanei means a person cannot get two punishments, then it shouldn't matter who's giving the two punishments. So if you look at it as a din in the
that he's exempt versus right, they can't.
That's right. It's not about who's giving it. It's about me. I, as an individual, can never get two punishments. Whether it comes from a Bezdin, whether it comes from Hashem, whether it comes from whatever, it doesn't matter. So we'll develop that hopefully in a few minutes.
What's the scenario between theft and the karet? What could be the scenario?
Where a person steals?
The guy stole it and then ran with it. Guys, for a mot, I mean, what
so that's another question. When you talk about Kimmel D'Ramanei, how directly do the two actions have to be? How can you know? It can't be that a guy does one thing that gives a misa, and then something else completely irrelevant that causes the chiyuv mamonos.
Well, these up the guy's car.
Right, these are all gemaras blined that we'll get to hopefully.
Like and also has to be b'vasachas.
Has to be b'vasachas. You know, we'll get to all these.
3 years right.
How could you earn karet? How could he earn karet?
It's not a question of credit, but the question is now the object is in his possession, and there's no obligation to return it, so that becomes his. Okay, these are all major.
How did you earn karet?
How did he earn it?
I mean, he doesn't earn it.
Then how did he get it?
How did he get
karet? Karet?
Oh, what did he do wrong?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to get karet for stealing.
Why were we talking stealing a karet?
No, because we want to talk about cases. Well, the Gemara is going to talk about a case where a guy steals, let's say, machalas asuris. And he eats machalas asuris. So there's a case of stealing while eating machalas asuris at the same time.
What is it?
Things you're not allowed to eat. Uh-huh. Let's say, for example, he steals truma. Uh-huh. He takes truma from the kain and eats it. So the question is there's two. We'll get these mamash all gemaras later on.
Does it make a difference which one comes first? Meaning the chiyuv karas or the mamonos or
at the same time?
It usually comes at the same time.
No,
that's what the gemara is going to say. That they always
but
have
the
to happen.
Stealing and then the eating.
That's the whole element of the gemara. The gemara is going to have to try to figure out if he picks it up, he becomes the ganif.
Right.
The isser is not until he eats it.
Right.
The gemara comes with all these creative answers. How he does it, we'll get to this. Okay. All geshmaki gemaras. But I want to go back to shagig for a second.
Right.
That's one of the truths the gemara gives. Such an answer. Yeah.
One of the punishments that we account for, or because it comes from God, we don't count.
So that's machlokes. Most people assume that karis doesn't count, but Reb Nechunya ben Hakana says it does. But I just want to finish this. What about shagig? How do you explain shagig? Again, shagig means a guy kills someone accidentally, and while he kills him accidentally, he breaks his glasses.
Well, that was also accidental.
Everything's accidental. The whole thing's accidental.
What's the punishment for shagig?
Nothing. Galus. Goes to Galus, right. Which we'll talk about later today.
So they should be responsible for the mammonos.
So the Gemara has a Jerusha from the Bei Chizkiya that even Shoigig, where you don't give the stronger punishment, you don't even give the death penalty, you still say Kimle Ramine. How does that work?
But he's still punished for having to with Ari Miklad, right?
Yeah, but that's not Misa. That's a whole different category.
It's not the Misa, in other words, when you have Kimle Ramine.
Again, is Ari Miklad a punishment, or Ari Miklad is actually a safe haven? It's more of a safe haven. It means if you don't go there, you're going to get killed. It's more of a protection. So how do we explain that? So this is something that needs a lot of hesber, really. Yeah, I'm getting to it.
And then is there also a question, if you do something b'mezid, but then you accidentally do something else?
What do you mean?
Like his example, I shot at somebody intentionally.
And then something
the
else
bullet
happened.
Goes through right. And then hits something else. I didn't intend that. It wasn't even reasonably foreseeable.
Right.
Somebody walked in.
Right. So the problem is, for Momin is, we have a rule, Adam mud lo'olam. A person is always chai for whatever damage he causes, unless he's an oynes gomer. Unless he's an extreme, uncontrollable situation, right? The Taisvus in Baba Kama quotes Yushalmi, crazy case. Let's say you go to bed at night And while you're sleeping, someone decides to put the kalim in your bed. You're sleeping on your side. The guy puts, you know, china, all this fancy stuff into your bed. And in the middle of the night, you roll over like humans do. So the question is that considered an oynis gomer, or is that considered a regular oynis? What's the level of oynis? So an adam amazik is always chayav for whatever he does. So it's going to be very hard to find the case where adam amazik won't be. Even, again, I shoot him and it ricochets. That's a question of, is that a grumma? Is that a garmi? There's a lot of... But then we'll get to all these creative things. Help.
Hold now, alive.
That's right. So how do we understand shoygig? This is really a kasha. How do you understand the case of shoygig? Because the Noidi Behuda asked this kasha. If you remember last week, the Noidi Behuda had a kasha on himself. He said that when is there no tvisa, that's when Bezin's hands are tied. But by Kare, that's when there is tvisa. But by Kare, it's not coming from Bezin, it's coming from Hashem. So the Noidi Behuda asked on himself, if so, what do you do by a case of shoygig? By a case of shoygig, Bezin is not giving the death penalty. He's a shoygig. He doesn't get the death penalty. And still the halacha dictates that he gets Kim Levi Rabbinay. How are we supposed to understand it? So the Noidi Behuda answered, nah, that's different. That's a hekesh. The Gemara makes a hekesh that we compare shoygig to mezid, and just like if I were to do this act be mezid and the person would get misa, he'd have kim levi d'ram minei. So do shoygig also has kim levi d'ram minei? What's the answer? What's the hekesh? The Gemara makes such a hekesh. But what's the, like, is there a lumdus over here? Or this is just something we just have to accept and move on?
There's a hekesh, right?
Correct, which we'll get to in the argument in a second as well. But is
that's
there
the refuge,
right? Right, that's the easy answer. But is there any way to logically, or let's say it differently, what is the hekesh teaching us? You're right, we can't. Is the hekesh teaching us a new lumdus? And there's two ways you could say it. Chayra. One way to say it is that the hekesh is teaching us that you're right. In theory, shoygig makes absolutely no sense. But the Torah is telling you that you have to treat a shoygig like you do a mezid. End of story. Avada, the lumdus is doesn't. The lumdus is
get kim leder
rabbi. Right, you get kim leder rabbi shoygig only because it's a special hekesh that shoygig has to act just like a mezid. And since mezid has kim leder rabbi, shoygig has kim leder rabbi. Even though it does not fit the logic.
So maybe it's coming to teach you that it's a din in the person and not in Beis Din.
But still not going to work, because the person's not going to get Misa.
No, I understand that. But
maybe the Torah is chus on somebody who killed somebody.
Yeah.
Now we're saying it a different way. That's the other side of Chakir. The other side of Chakir is that it's not about getting the punishment. It's about doing specific activities that carry a certain punishment if done the right way. Those acts, the Torah says you have come to drama
minute.
No matter what.
It's a different. Kimlei D'Rabbanei only daf kemisa?
Like, let's say Malchus also.
So say in other words, if I do something where I'd be chayv Malchus and also rip the shirt,
right.
I'm only kimlei butter.
Right.
So then if that were the case, it's not a din dafke in misa.
No.
Therefore, if it's a shogeg, I can understand that a little bit
but
better.
But what's the punishment if the shogeg?
There is no punishment.
No, we say
so that's our question.
Or do you have to bring a korban?
No. You go to Imrikla if you want to live.
I don't know if
he kills Bishagi. Oh. Not sure. But again, the point is, there's no Maisa of Bezdin giving any death penalty. So where's the Kimlei? We just said Kimlei B'Dramini means that in the bigger punishment, they swallowed up the smaller punishment. But there is no bigger punishment. There's nothing. Bezdin says you're
punished. They're only Bezdin in a Misa situation.
Right. Back to the question, so what's the exact cause of teaching us? So either you could say the exact cause of teaching us that Avada, the lumdus of Kimlei Ramanei, is the bigger punishment, swallows up the smaller punishment. But there's another exact cause of that Shoigig has to be like a mezid. Even though it doesn't fit in the lumdus of Kimlei, it's a secondary lumdus that the Torah says you have to treat a Shoigig like you do a mezid. That's obviously not such a geshmak lumdus. That's
very. What's the practical nafkamina?
I want to understand why is there Kim Levi Dramini by Shogeg?
But by Shogeg, where there is not going to be any Misa, punishment, all you're going to do is have, you get the right to run.
Correct.
You, by the way, do anyway.
Well, not if you're Chayiv Mezid. But Mezid, they rip you out of your
Mikvah. I understand that.
Yeah, you can go if you want. But,
so, it's an opportunity to save yourself, but it's really not.
Correct.
So there's no punishment.
Correct.
So, what's the practice so other than the lumdus?
So I wonder why you shouldn't have
so
to pay.
The guy
should have to pay. Reuven kills Shimon accidentally. So Bezin says
there's no punishment.
There's no punishment. Yeah. And so the Bezin says, "I'm sorry, Shimon, you don't get the money."
The guy says, "Doesn't the Gemara
salvation too?"
Yeah, but it's not like they're holding home anymore.
Should have gotten mikvah and got away with
that's
it.
That's right.
And then they put him in a situation.
The Gemara has a comment in Makis whether or not our Miklat is really considered a kapara, or is our Miklat considered a savior? right? Forget this
but
week's parsha.
The Gemara gives an example. Our Kaddish Baruch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy.
Oh, we're gonna come to that.
Getting it.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that later
so
today.
It must be a punishment. Otherwise, why?
It's definitely a punishment.
Get into it.
I'm not right. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Whether or not
it goes.
We'll talk.
Right?
What?
You can stay home. You don't have to go to there.
Well, we'll talk about it. It's a good point. It's a good point.
Shogeg negligence or accident, and there's a difference.
That's
shogeg and onus.
That's a good question.
Right. So if you're a shogeg,
that's an accident. Onus is someone puts a gun to your head and says, "Do this, otherwise I'll kill you."
Well,
so that's shogeg. I'm actually doing the act intentionally, except I'm doing it.
Okay,
before.
Good. So that's a tricky question.
So is shogeg an accident,
yeah,
or I negligence? In other words,
it depends.
I was texting while I was driving.
Right. So
that is that an accident or is that negligence?
Right. So that would be negligence.
And if it's negligence, then maybe you're not as scot-free, like, you know.
Right, but again, at the end of the day, whatever a shogeg would be considered, there will be no death penalty.
Right.
So how do you justify to the family that there's no money?
Well, actually, there could be a death penalty.
Not if
the family could kill you.
Right. But that's not a chiyuv. Uh-huh. Oh, we'll come back to that. That's a good point.
They're allowed to.
Oh, good. I think these are all things we're going to talk about. So this just needs a little hezbro. Again, we'll hopefully get to it in the Gemara. Hopefully we'll talk about it. Yeah.
A guy kills a Beshogeg in the middle of desert. And the guy that he killed has a wallet. Is he allowed to take the wallet? Is this...
If he has no yarshim, I guess
is
he could. Yeah, if he has no yarshim, it's hefker. If he has no family, then it's hefker. Yeah, he gets to keep it. So let's see the Gemara inside.
Why would you be surprised that it's a shogeg that with Rabbi? I mean, it may have been accidental, but you still caused the same damage.
Yeah, but again, at the end of the day, if Kimmel Dramine means that when a person gets the larger punishment, the smaller punishment gets either absorbed in it or gets exempt, there is no larger punishment here. This guy is not getting Misa.
True, but even the guy in Ir Miklat, it's sort of a punishment because your whole life is...
It's not Misa. Fakir, this week's parasha, the Torah says, V'chai behem. So the Gemara Makis brings
the rest of his life.
The Gemara Makis says, Fakir, his Rebbe has to go with him. He's got
to
bring his Rebbe with him. He sits and learns the whole day. He's got a nice setup in Ir Miklat.
I'll kill anyone who comes on
you. What you have to live with, you still killed somebody, and that is a punishment. Forget about you die or not die.
What's the how do we define the greater punishment versus the smaller punishment?
That you have to live with the fact that you killed somebody.
Is that a punishment, or that's just a psychological?
That's
a psychological outcome. I don't disagree, but you know, at the end of the day, it's not a right.
They can live with it.
But that's not. I wouldn't call that an oinish from Bezdin. Bezdin has to give punishments. So Bezdin gives the death penalty. Bezdin gives malchus. By shogeg, Bezdin does nothing. Bezdin says we can't. Let's say a better case. Let's say a guy kills Bemezer with no edim. With no hasra. The guy's the evil should be evil. The guy's a horrible person. But it's a legal loophole. You know, it happens all the time. I ask our lawyers here. Legal loopholes is what makes the country go around, right? Legal loopholes. Right? That's what happens, right? The guy, Bezdin, can't give a misa. So how do you justify Kimli Draman in those cases? So the Gemara says, no, we have a drasha. So I'm just trying to break down what exactly is the drasha showing us. Is the drasha showing us that we misunderstood Kimli Draman? Or is the drasha showing us that the Kimli focus is not so much about the punishment, but it's about the act that you does. And an act that a person does that would carry such a punishment, such an act would automatically exempt you from the mamonis. Okay, we'll come back to that, I hope. We didn't even start the first source yet. Oh, yeah, we're really buying time. Talk to Gemara. Now we're going to understand Reb Nechunya ben Akana. Where did Reb Nechunya ben Akana dream up that Chayve Krisa has Kimle B'Dramini? So the Gemara to Reb Nechunya ben Akana, tap number one. How you always say Yom Kippurim G'Shabbos. Reb Nechunya ben Akana used to make Yom Kippur like Shabbos. L'tashlumin for payment. What does that mean? Ma Shabbos b'schay b'nav she'upotem l'tashlumin. Just like on Shabbos, a person's Chayv Misa, he's part of a payment. Af Yom Kippurim, so to Yom Kippur, mischayev b'nafshoy. He's chayev to pay. Upart min tashlumin, and he's part of from pay.
What's the having mean that Yom Kippur wouldn't be like Shabbos?
Because it doesn't have Misa's Bezdin. Because Yom Kippur,
well, it's Shabbos.
One second. So the lashon of the Gemara is interesting. We'll see in a second what to talk about with the lashon of the Gemara. Again, till now, till the Nechunya ben Akana walked onto the scene, Kimle B'Dramine was always a Bezdin experience. It says in the Chumash, Kedei Rishasai, that Bezdin should dish out one Risha, V'yato Mechayiv Shtei Rishasai, Bezdin can't dish out two punishments. The problem always is that Karis Bezdin is not dishing it out, it comes from Hashem. So the Nechunya ben Akana says, I don't care. I treat Yom Kippur just like Shabbos, and just like on Yom Kippur, a person's Chayiv, and he's just like on Shabbos, a person who's Mazik and has to pay is Potter, so too on Yom Kippur, he's Potter. So if you look over here very quickly on the bottom, number two in the Sefer, Ater Shmuel. So he wants to say, what's the underlying machloikis between Reb Nechunya ben Akana and the rest of the world? And Nechunya ben Akana holds this Kimle B'Dramine by Karis, and no one else thinks so. What's the point of machloikis? So he says, "V'kanira d'sviru le d'yisrael apluk to the rabbanon v'nechoni ben akon he be ikra din shal kimle d'ramini." The machloek is over here is what is kimle d'ramini? The rabbanon ikra din who dein bezdin ma'anishin oisa b'shtay. Everyone else except for him, the nechoni ben akon understands kimle d'ramini as a din in bezdin. Bezdin can't give two punishments. So karis, bezdin is not giving it. Bezdin is not involved in karis. So therefore, you should not have kimle d'ramini by karis. Ulefichach lo yishayich hach p'tur b'karis. Avol Rem Nechunya ben Akon Esvile di Yisayir Aptor who din Ptor al Oynish Akal or Lefichach Iker Hach din Einami Bekaris. Rem Nechunya ben Akon says, no, it's not a din in who's dishing out the punishment. It's a din in receiving two punishments. Your person does not get two punishments if he gets a larger one.
Regardless of
who's giving it. Whether it be Hashem, whether it be Bezdin. Therefore says Rem Nechunya ben Akon, so I understand very well why does Kimle B'Ramineh? Kimle B'Ramineh is not looking at it from the Bezdin point of view, but looking at it from the recipient's point of view. No one person can get two punishments.
On the Yisrael Karis, what, like Trumo or?
No, let's say the, our original case was a person lives with his sister. He rapes his sister.
Oh, okay.
That was the case of the Mishnah.
All right. You get courage just because the Kosh Baruch Hu knows what happened and you're just going to wait for it? Or just right. Do you actually have to be decided by Beis Din that you did this? And then once Beis Din decides that you're chayv, you had Hasra, you had all that stuff, right? Then the punishment is cut. Then they say, okay, we're going to turn the clock on and wait for Kosh Baruch Hu to
that's
do
basically
it.
Basically
but
it.
They have to decide it.
There has to be a certain amount of
so there's an adjudication of the chiyuv of kares.
Yeah,
by Beis Din.
But by definition, they're not giving you courage because they can't.
I understand that.
They're just saying that you are fit to get, you know, Hashem. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that.
Not nothing, right?
We'll come back to that in a few minutes. Yeah.
Because Karis, they used to say if you live till 60 that you're not going to die.
That's
from
what Tysus says.
Really?
Your children.
Tysus like that.
Yeah. Saying,
is it Tysus?
Wow.
If anyone remembers, we had a shiur. We did a Tuesday night shiur. It's on the website about birthdays in halacha. So on that shiur, we spoke about the significance of getting through a 60th birthday. It's based on the Tysus.
You don't get courage if you're 61 and you have kids.
So we're going to learn.
If that's the case, you don't apply for it.
So if we get to the next page of today's Maamar Karmis, which looks like we're not getting there, there's a Tysus that Mamash has his kasha. The Gemara says, we're going to get to the Gemara later on, the Gemara says that even though there's no Mises Bezdin today, but Hashem still has his ways. So Tysus says, all the Rishayim ask, it's just not true. We've seen evil, evil people die at a good old ripe age. How do you make sense of that? So we're going to get to that. Hopefully, we'll be another. It's probably one of the more lesser Lamda Shishurim we've ever done here, but it's still something we have to get to. It's a fair question. But Tysus is going to point this out, that Einenu Re'inu, that there have been people that have done horrific things. I don't mean Goyim, I mean Jewish people. They lived a very immoral life, and yet they lived to be 100 years old. What happened to the fact that Hashem still gets you even though Mises Bezdin is bought?
Maybe they were supposed to live until they were 105. I mean, that's
easy. Yeah, again, Gemara's going to give us all these details.
Isn't that the whole thing inside of Yerala? You're not supposed to ask those kind of questions?
Yeah, the Rishayim ask it. That's what we're... the Rishayim ask it. We'll talk
about
it. The Rishayim Mamash asked this question. Masho asked... Well, we're going to hopefully get to it. So let's go finish up the Hishtigal Torah with this Ater Shmuel. So again, so he wants the Taina, and this is the way I would say it, that the Machloik is between them, the Chunim and Akon, and everyone else is, what's the Lomas of Kimle D'Ramini? Is Kimle D'Ramini about the giving of the punishment, or is it about the receiving of the punishment? Is the Pshad that Bezdin can't give two punishments, or the Pshad is that you can't receive two punishments? If it's about you receiving, it shouldn't matter who's giving it. It comes from Hashem, it comes from someone else, it shouldn't matter.
Which is
whatever. Which is the holds. Right, so now he takes it a step further. And he writes, we're in the bottom number two. Very easy l'dayik. He says, I want to make a diak. Because of Hachigam Mashmois Lishna Nechunya Ben Akon. He says, I want to prove to you my lomdis from the words of Reb Nechunya Ben Akon. What does Reb Nechunya Ben Akon say? Af Yoima Kippurim Mishai Benav Shapot Mitashulman. What were the words of the Gemara? The Gemara said that Reb Nechunya Ben Akon said that he makes Yom Kippur like Shabbos. Ma Shabbos Mishai Benav Shai. Af Yom Kippurim Mishai Benav Shai. Just like in Yom Kippur, a person's chayiv to get miso. Upot Mitashulman is potter from pain. So what's his diak? Dulcheri ain't Zen Nisina Tam Klal. What is the fact that on Yom Kippur a person gets miso? Everyone agrees that if a person gets karis, he's mischayiv benafshoy. That's the reality. Why is the Nechunya Ben Akon harp on the fact that when a person does an Isra and Yom Kippur, he gets karis? That's not the point. The point is whether or not he's going to have to make the money part. So he wants to say no. Well, if he had slach, osi shabbat, the raklan nechunya yisayid apator who mishum dechiv nefesh pater. He says no, because the whole yisayid is mischayiv v'nafshay. It's not about bezdin. It's because you're chayiv to get a punishment. And once you're chayiv to get punishment A, we can't make you get punishment B. That's the whole chiddush of Reb Nechunya ben Akana. The whole chiddush of Reb Nechunya ben Akana is the fact that you have a chiv misa on your head. Not that bezdin has a chiv to give you, but you have mischayiv v'nafshay. It's sitting on your head, and that's why you have a patur of the mamonis. Okay. Reb Shteinman over here has a cute kasha. It's cute because it comes back to what we learned in the 19th parak of Shabbos a while back. We had a famous machloekis with Shainim between the Rambam and the Ravid. We know one of the mitzvahs that a person gets karis for is not getting a milo. A person doesn't get a milo, he gets karis. So we always had this old machloekis rim. When does that start? Right, the guy hits 13. So now every day he gets karis, or he's chayiv karis. So first of all, we learned already 2 weeks ago, karis might not start till 20. Fine. So let's say he hits 20. It's 20th birthday, and many people have a practice that 20th birthday, they stay up a whole night, and they fast, because that's when a person comes chayiv and karis. So let's say he survives his 20th birthday, good. And now he's to 20, right now the karis starts. Every day the karis. Or maybe the karis is only to the last minute before, meaning he can always still do it. What's stopping him? So Reb Shteinman asked the following kasha, yesh makshim. Number three. This is a real creative question. Says Reb Shteinman, according to Nechunya, that every chiv karis has come lib deram in it. Imken, the sheet is harayiv, the hecha shalim ol atzmai. Chayiv karis al kol rega she'enem ol atzmai. According to the Ravid, you carry along that chiv karis every second of your life. Imken, kol yimei chayiv, im yazik yepotter. It's a fact of Shteinman, a gavaldik a loophole. This guy, every damage he does, he's always going
to
be positive.
It has to be connected.
Good. So he says, "Im dah kol rega chayiv karis al shalim mal hatzmai." Again, here is a question: the act of not being gemalt is what creates the chayiv karis. Is every minute he's walking, he's not being gemalt? Technically, right? So according to that, every second he's doing something that's giving him karis. So if every second, so the second he's punching the guy in the face. Again, the chorus is not coming from the same act, right?
Right.
Punching
the
guy. But I'm going to mad. The guy's in a constant situation of chiv chorus. It's an interesting
would really be a case of chote niskar for
the right, exactly. So what does Reb Shteinman answer? He says, Avol be'enai mol, the sibos chiyuva hu machma she'ena oise. Tehainu machma she'ena mol atzmai, alzel shayach kim lev diram mine. So he wants to say no, because it's really two separate things. I'm not exactly sure 100% what he means, but his lashon is be'enay mor, when a person doesn't get a milo.
I don't understand that.
Oh,
Seth.
Ah. Well, that would go back to David's question earlier this morning. Is it shaykh to have kim l'dramine with one act to another act?
No, I don't think it has to be.
So wait, here's an interesting situation. Here's a situation where he's constantly in a matzif of kuris. Correct. It's nothing. The karis is not coming from the Maisa Hezek, right? Yeah. I agree with you. It's a correct. Good point. I'm with you. I hear. I don't know. But his lashon is al be'enay mol the sibus chiyuv machmas she'ena oisa da'enu machmas she'ena mol atzmei. Maybe that's what he means. Al be'enay mol the sibus chiyuv machmas she'ena oisa da'enu machmas she'ena mol atzmei al zel shech kinnay. Maybe that's what he means. It's not clear. To me, it sounds like he's saying alom the shavur, that it's not a direct, meaning the chorus comes from not doing something. And when the chorus comes from not doing something, we don't say kim l'dramine. That's what his words sound like. Right. That's what his words sound like. But Seth is tiny, the kasha never gets off the ground. Because you only chayim, it's a good point. I hear. I don't know. It's a good horror. But let's take this one step further. This next Mar Malkam, I have a very hard time understanding. The sefer called Chavtzelos HaShon, it's one of my favorite svarim. It took Chumash and made it lomdish. I don't mean that in a negative way. But it took the Parshas HaShavua and made everything with all the lomdish raid and the marmakoimis. So like, you know, yeshiva guys, you know, their extent of learning Chumash is how can it be lomdish, right? Which is wrong. But so they're always looking to find lomdish stuff on the Parsha. So this sefer Chavtzelos HaShon is fantastic. It's on all the Chamish HaChumash HaTorah. And he takes all the Parshas in the Chumash and turns them into lomdish sugyas. He goes to the Gemaras, with the Rishayim and all the sugyas out there.
So,
His name is Anu. I think his name is Kalbach, rather. I think. Is that right? I don't remember. It's a great sefer. It's a fat five volumes. Very, very good shmaka sefer. If you're looking for lomdisha sugyas on the parsha, it's a very. There's another sefer. There's another fellow who does this also. This Rabbi Ephraim. what's his name? Rabbi Klein from Tomo. That's his name, Klein?
Oh, yeah. There is a Rabbi Klein.
Rabbi Klein from Tomo. He does that also. He also makes a Chumash Sefer. The Shul of Rabbi Asher Weiss does it also. And his Minchas Asher, he does the same thing. Yeah. Right, this is a new popular thing. Yeshiva Bachim like Chumash Svarim that are Lomdish. This way they get to... It's a whole new style of learning Chumash. Mm-hmm. It's not like our typical Chumash here on Wednesday night. It's more Lomdish with Sugyas. But it's interesting. So this Sefer, he wants to tell you this. Huh? My friend. That's what he did, right. Tying the parasha into practical and sugyas and okay, these parashas have to be fantastic. There's so many good stuff in this week's parasha. Shoiftim, because it gets very, very lebedic. But in any case, yeah.
Can I ask you just to say again what I didn't quite get what Rav Steinman said?
Rav Steinman's question is, if you hold like the Raiva that every single time a person doesn't have a meal, he's carrying a chayiv karas on him. So, says fact Rav Steinman, this guy can now go around beating up anyone he wants. Because according to the Chonim Ben Akana, he has Kimlid Ramine. So if he has Kimlid Ramine, he'll never be obligated for any payments. So Seth Tain is, no, the Bechlal is no Kimlid over here, because Kimlid Ramine only if I do one act, and that one act creates two Chiyuvim. Over here, they're not getting a Milah, and beating a guy up on the street is not connected. Steinman doesn't say that. Steinman seems to be saying more of, I guess, what he's considering a Lomdish Teretz, that...
You're committing the act every minute.
Oh, so that's the question. That's the question.
But what's the question? The question that the two have nothing to do with each other, so or that the not getting a bris is not an act?
Oh, so that's what I think Ibn Steinman is saying. I think Ibn Steinman's answer is that not doing something is not when you say kimle. You don't say kimle for not doing something. You get kimle for doing something.
Plus, right. Also,
but the question is that, but still, they're from totally two different occurrences.
How does this kasha get off the ground? If we said before, when I asked, you know, does it have to be to the same person?
Right. That's part of the answer, right? Over here, it's two separate maisim, two separate connections. So this Sefer Chavtel Sashon, he wants to clear a chakira, which for the life of me, I don't understand. He wants to tell like this, Vashayir b'zeh muchach, number four. He wants to talk about a shayil, which is worth discussing. It's really Ramban Chumash, about is kares. Let's, for example, the Torah says if a person causes pain to a yosim v'yosayma, Hashem says, I'm going to make your life miserable, I'm going to kill you. Is that different than karis? Is that karis? Well, that's a whole different thing. Right? Again, we have two times. The Torah says it's karis, and the Torah says if a person causes pain to a yosim v'almona, Hashem says he's going to die, and it's going to be terrible, it's going to be miserable. So is that karis, or is that a different type of punishment? So the Ramban Chumash asks this kash. The Ramban tries to figure out nafkaminas between typical kares and causing pain to a yasam v'alman. So he wants to go a different
way. One thing, isn't there a difference whether it goes on, who's it going on? Meaning, when you're doing it on yasam and alman, you're doing it on, is it totally on you or the person or the recipient? We're going back to the same thing.
Oh, again, the din that the Torah says that if you mitzari yasam v'yasam v'alman, the person gets death. Right. Is that kares? That's a different thing.
Death
from Hashem. Right. Okay. Is that death from Hashem the same as
courage? How do you define courage? Just very simply, how do you define courage?
So we're going to listed as courage.
Oh, it's not listed as courage. So the question is, there another category?
And what is courage?
Courage, there's a lot of different versions, but this will come by. This is actually Gemara's going to come across. One answer might be a person dies young.
So, meaning before their time.
Before, right, young, presumably a healthy, you know, seemingly young person, relatively young.
So every act of Misa from Beis Din is it has courage in it too.
No, but that we...
I understand that, but it's also ending your... In other words, element of courage...
Right. My question is when it's not...
Timely.
Correct.
God, we're not
but when
God, whatever.
Yeah,
okay, so that's the... We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about it. Tosafot talks about it over here. We're going to get to that, actually, believe it or not. But the question over here is, when Hashem says, I'm going to create the death penalty, is there a difference between what we call typical courage, which the Torah gives you a whole list of things that give you courage, you know, eating on Yom Kippur and living with your sister and living with the Arayis, versus when Hashem says, no, when you live with... When you cause pain to a Yosef, that's a different type of punishment.
Well, doesn't Torah sometimes
says
most yumas and sometimes
says v'nichrusa? Right, so most yumas, the Gemara has a drasha, it's bezdin, yeah. The Gemara has a drasha, which type of misa is bezdin?
So when we see misa v'day shemayim in the Torah, how do we know?
Karis, the Gemara says v'nichrusa.
That's what karis
yes,
says,
yes. Right, misa v'day shemayim presumably means karis. So that's the question. That's the question.
You have to say v'nichrusa, then you know it's
karis. Then you know it's karis, with all its trimmings, which have some trimmings to it. It might affect the children and the grandchildren, all these... Hopefully we'll get to the sugya. So he wants to clarify Chakir over here. He says, "Vashayir b'zeh muchach dini yeshlach kor b'yisoid choy v'as misa b'dei shemayim." Chakir, what does it mean misa b'dei shemayim? What is that concept that Hashem strikes a person down? Hayim ikrei rak din oynish. Is it just a punishment? U'moshul azet tzadich has kol shebeteira. Right. We know we're going to read in Parashas Kisava. We're going to read the Teichachos. Right. Those are klolis curses. So those curses, she'enam chalois din chiyav shechal al gavra, you don't look at it and say that a guy was paskin min hashemayim, that has a chiyav misa, and then Hashem checks off chiyav misa, then the next day Hashem, you know, shoots him down with lightning. That's an einish. Person, and this is where I have a hard time understanding his chakir. He calls it an einish. Okay, has a punishment, and he gets killed because of an einish. It's a punishment. But it's not what he calls, there's no chiv chal on the person. Kim din einish greda. Oy the name, or do you say the chiv misa b'deshamayim, who chiv misa gomu? What do you say? No. Chiv misa b'deshamayim is just like chiv in Bezdin. Bezdin paskins, and they decide, and they, okay, you chiv misa. Here Hashem does the same thing. Hashem decides, yep, I see the information, I see the evidence. Chiv misa, just that comes from Hashem, and this comes from Bezdin. Now, I don't really know what the first side of that is. His first side is maybe it's just an einish. What does that mean, it's just an einish? It's an einish that was decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be in the form of death. To me, that's the same as the second side. I don't really understand what his two tzadim are. He's trying to make a chakir over here, which I have a hard time understanding. He wants to say that maybe the first tzad is that misa b'deshamayim is not really a chiv. It's a punishment. It's just like, you know, it's a part and parcel of life. Is a part, you know, on par for doing things wrong, you get a punishment. But it's not like Hashem judges you and decides that you chayiv misa like he does in this world. I don't know. And I'm not really sure what the two tzadim are.
And if he does, then why is that different than karas?
Right, right.
I understand it's not on the list.
Right, right. So he wants to say, he wants to bring a Rai from our Gemara. What's the Rai from our Gemara? He says, our Gemara says it's Kim Lev Dramine by Karis. He says, what do you mean Kim Lev Dramine by Karis? Kim Lev Dramine only makes sense when there's a Chiv, two Chiyuvim. Chiv A can exempt Chiv B. But if you understand Karis is not a Chiv but an Oinish, how do you have a concept of Kim Lev Dramine? That's his Rai. I don't know what he's talking about. What do you think an Oinish is? An Oinish Guf is a Chiv. That's what it is. Hashem is not punishing you just because he's bored. He's punishing you because you did something that deserves such a punishment. That's a Chiv. So I put this down.
The prayer we showed you, we read, use the word ownership.
Right, that's the Lashon. That's right, right, right. I push it. I don't understand what he's trying to say over here. He's trying to make some circle torch. I don't understand. Correct. A person gets an Oinish because he did a Chiv. Right, that's what I think. Yes, Seth, what?
Maybe it's similar to like a loan, right? You borrow money and
make it louder.
It's not a punishment that you have to pay back the loan, but you have to pay back the loan because you borrowed the money. Here, you did not pay her up, and that's the payment. But not necessarily an onus per se. I mean,
you want to say different. You want to say it's an einish without a chiyuv einish, right? He's trying to create a chiddush over there. Something called an einish without a chiyuv einish. Like it's reality.
The chiyuv is created. The chiyuv is created by the fact that, but it's not. I don't know. But it's not an onus. It's payback.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I have a hard time understanding the tzitzadim. But okay, we put it down. It just lahagdil toiru lahadira. Okay, let's get back to the Gemara because we're still way behind schedule today. We're holding over here in the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to say, what was the lashon of the Gemara? That Nechon Menachon treated Yom Kippur like Shabbos. So the Pnei Yeshua number 5 is bothered with the Kasha. What type of wording is that? Why did the Gemara just...
everybody else treat Yom Kippur, though? What does that
there's no Kim Lev Dramine in Yom Kippur.
So in other words, when you belt a punch, you smack a guy...
on Yom Kippur.
And you have to pay.
That's correct. That's right. And the Chulim HaKadosh says, no, I treat Yom Kippur like Shabbos. So all the Achrenim are bothered. Why say it that way? Why didn't the Chulim just say, Omer HaKadosh HaKadosh Yesh Kim Lev Dramine B'chai V'Krisis. Zahu. What's this fancy lashon? I make Yom Kippur like Shabbos. Well, what's this all about? So if you look in the Pnei Yeshua number 5, the Pnei Yeshua writes, "V'lek l'meim of the time that Yechonim ben Akona da'asim Kippurim k'Shabbos ha'in b'shem sheish b'yom Kippurim chayiv malchus." Time of the Pnei Yeshua, there's a chap over here. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. Yom Tov also has a lav to it. So the Gemara is saying that I treat Yom Kippur like Shabbos, and that is Kimle. Maybe that Kimle is because of the lav, not because of the karis. Again, Yom Kippur is a tricky day. Yom Kippur has lav al Yom Tov and has karis al Yom Kippur. So if you want to tell me that this Kimle Dramin and Yom Kippur, maybe that Kimle is not because of karis, but the Kimle is because of the Malkus that comes along with the Yom Tov. So you have no Raya that karis has Kimle. Maybe Yom Tov has Kimle. Says the Pnei Yeshua. So that's why he picked Yom Kippur. Because if it was just because of Yom Tov, it could have been Yom Tov. So it's time the Pnei Yeshua didn't came my era Yom Kippur, my filu Yom Tov Nami. Why did he focus on Yom Kippur? He wanted to bring out that it's Alster Kuris, not Alster Yom Tov, not Alster Lav. Because if it was Alster Lav, he could have said, you know, on Pesach, on Sukkot. The answer is he's trying to bring out that it's the Kuris of Yom Kippur that exempts you from Kim Levid Ramimini. V'oid, another teretz, that kati lehavi Yom Kippur legami kishabbos, the bishabbos, afil le asru be potor, Yom Kippur, mishom chavi malchus, hakaimon kebiyechem, the shaygin chayovin. Let's say, for example, it would be Yom Kippur. So in Yom Kippur, you'd have a Lav. right? So when it comes to a lav, we paskin that by shoygigin yichayiv. There's no kim le'diramine by a shoygig by malchus. Mashaking by kares, you are potter. This is something we need to talk about more. By malchus, let's say for example, a person does something that he deserves malchus for, but he does it accidentally. Is there kim le'diramine? So the Gemara says in that case no kim le. But if he does chayiv krisis b'shoygig, then there is kim le. So that's why says Bnei Yeshua, that's why Nechoni Ben Akana focused on Yom Kippur, because there's a difference between Yom Kippur as the Kares versus Yom Tif as the Malchus. Okay.
Now, Malchus meaning treif?
Depending on what you eat. So that would probably be Kares. Now there are certain Machos and Suras that do carry a lav, but we'll hopefully get to it. Now here's the point.
Malchus only works for
Shoygimis. That's right. So let's see the Gemara now. Oh, we never yet saw where the Chonim Ben Akana came from. Says the Gemara, might, we're back in number one. Let's go back to number one.
There's no Kim Levi to Rabbi Nei on a lav.
A lav that's a Shoygim.
Oh, so in other words, if I steal a pig from somebody and eat it.
Let's say a person were to do a lav Shoygim. Let's say someone.
So if I did a lav, they maze it.
Then there's Kim Levi.
Then
there's Kim Levi.
Then there's Kim Levi.
So if it's b'shoygeg, if it's b'shoygeg, so then there's no kim.
So one crazy question, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So if you eat chazer, you get karis. Just right on a Tuesday. So if you eat a ham sandwich on Yom Kippur, there's two karis.
Ah.
So with kim le'di rabbi, they apply to that. In other words, because one's not greater than the other.
You're also eating trade.
Literally at the same time.
Right. So if you ever, I don't like to say the lotion get stuck, but if you ever need to take mishnayos with someone, so you decide to take krisis, which I've done many times, and I still don't understand half the mishnayos there. But you go through mishnayos krisis, they talk about all these wacky examples where a person get like seven krisis.
Right,
but it's not negated to anything because you don't get karis more than once.
Right, that's what's nice.
No, but if
it's a stolen sandwich. Now we're gonna get to the Gemara. These are all sugyas later on. But Lina had to, we'll get to all these Gemaras. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. We still haven't seen where the Chonim Ben Akana comes from. Zog the Gemara, my timer than the Chonim Ben Akana. The $1 million question. What's the reason for the Chonim Ben Akana that says there's Kim Lebed Ramini by Kar? So we went backwards. We said all the Lumdas before we actually saw the sources. We did it the wrong way. The time, Zog the Gemara, my timer. Omer Abaye, Zog the Abaye, Nemar, it's a pasuk in Chumash. It says, Asan Bidei Adam. It says the word Asan when I'm referring to Bidei Adam. Benemar Asan Bidei Shemayim. And it says the word Asan when I'm referring to Shemayim. Ma asana amar bidei adam pater min tashlumin, just like by the asan said by Adam, it's pater from tashlumin. Af asana amar bidei shemayim pater min tashlumin. What is he talking about? So if you look on, I apologize, it's already on the next side. But Rashi over there explains number six. Like Rashi, asan bidei adam. Where does it say the word asan by bidei adam? The law here asan. Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. This pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim is talking about a person who hits a pregnant woman. This is the whole sugya of abortion, which we spoke at length about in the halacha shurim about abortion in halacha. So there, Rashi writes, "V'lo yeh asan d'mishtoi b'misas bezdin." That pasuk says like this: that if the person hits the lady, and depends what happens to the lady. So if, again, he hits the lady and she miscarriages, so you have to pay for what's called the mevlodis. This unborn baby has value, so that's called the mevlodis. So the Gemara has a drush on Baba Kama that the mevlodis goes to the husband, the father. The father has right to the mevlodis, which is one of my big arguments in abortion, right, that whenever you have to abort a baby, you need consent from the father, which the left will never want to hear such a taina. Because the pro-abortion people say the husband doesn't even count, even though he was half the reason the baby existed. But no, he doesn't count. It's her body, her decision. That's clearly not what the Torah says. And I finally found a place who actually said that. I was happy to finally see that even if a lady is allowed to have an abortion, she needs to have consent from the father, because that's his mominus. Those mevlodas belong to him. The Gemara makes a drasha. The mevlodas belong to the husband, the father.
So maybe you could say you just have to pay him.
And a chami.
You still don't need his consent. No, the left doesn't say fine, maybe okay. $1,000.
But there's no way anyone on the left will ever acknowledge.
They'll acknowledge
that. Yeah, they'll never acknowledge that he has any rights to those. But al pi halacha, he definitely does. So
it's only a tashlumin.
It's a mamonis tashlumin. Right, it's a mamonis tashlumin. Right, so what happens? So the pasuk says it depends what happens. So if a guy hits a pregnant lady, so the Torah says it depends. If there's no asun, so what does it mean? There's no asan, which means the man who hit the lady is not going to get misa. Why would he not get misa? Because she doesn't die. He hurts her, but she doesn't die. So then he has to pay the mevlodis. Ha yeah asan. But if there would be an asan literally translates to be a casualty, a tragedy. Then he doesn't have to pay. Why? Because kim lebi deram mine. So this is one of the sources of Kinder Rabbanan. It says that if there'll be no asan, which means he won't get killed. Why won't he get killed? Because she didn't get killed. So if she didn't get killed, again,
he would owe the money to the father, not to her. And in all the other cases, it was always to the same person.
Well, again, it's over here. He's going to get He'd get Misa for killing her, and then Mevlad is going to someone else. That's a good point. Right. Yeah, but there is at least one act. He did one act of hitting a lady, which creates Misa, and it creates Mominus.
Misa is Betas.
That would be Mrs. Bezna. The guy beats up a guy, shoots a pregnant lady.
She may be entitled to money for the baby also.
No, the Mevlad is the Torah says the Gemara Baba Kama says only goes.
Maybe Kinder Rabbi doesn't apply if the
two different people.
But over here it's a better example because over here at least it's the same mice.
Yeah.
He hits one woman, which creates a chiv misa and a chiv mamanis. So the Gemara says in that case it says the word asan, and there we say Kinder Rabbi. Good, fine.
Is that case shogeg? Because he's fighting with a guy. He didn't hit her on purpose.
No.
He's fighting with another guy.
That would be the case with Lo Yeha Asan. That's when we won't give him Misa. But if he just walks over to a pregnant woman and just beats her up, and then he'll get Misa, then if he gets Misa, there's no Chiyuv Mamonos. So now the Gemara says, so where does it say the word Asan B'dei Shamayim? So Rashi says, V'karahu Asan. Anyone know what this pasuk is referring to?
So
you have a Bakari with us. Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. Right. So the truth is, it's not so pasuk which pasuk is referring to, but there's over there in that storyline with when Yaakov is nervous to send Binyamin back down to Mitzrayim. So Yaakov says, "I'm afraid that if I'm going to send Binyamin down, v'karo asan, something will happen." Now, what are you worried is going to happen? He's going to be chayv Mises Bezdin. The answer is Hashem will strike him down. So Zoktem Nechunyim Enakona. So what do I see from there? I see that the word asan is used both in context of Misa from a Bezdin and used in context with Misa from Hashem. So I compare the two. Just like Misa B'dei Adam, there's Kimle, so to Misa B'dei Shemayim, there's Kimle. That's the whole Makar. Now,
that's... No, Yaakov was... knew it was a Bezdin that...
Oh, yeah.
He was referring to the brothers being like a Bezdin killing another son.
So that's what the Mefarshim pointed out. I don't want to get so off track where you're at. So Mefarshim pointed out this pasuk is not really referring to the first pasuk. It says the word asan twice in the Chumash. The first time is when Yaakov doesn't want to send him down because he's afraid his brothers are going to kill him, which is like a misa b'dei adam. This next pasuk that Rashi says is referring to later on when Yehuda is accepting responsibility and saying, I will watch him. Then again Yaakov says, I don't want an asan. And there he didn't suspect the brothers would do it then. There he meant B'dei Shemayim. Before Shem speaks, Pnei Shu speaks it out and others speak it out as well. So now this is a very interesting drasha, right? This is saying, it says the word asan, but the other says the word asan B'dei Shemayim. We compare the two things. The lum, this is our worlds apart. It doesn't matter. That's it. It's Xerah Shava. We don't care. That's it. The facts are the facts. That's how it works.
Particularly when you have so few of the words also.
Right, it's not a common word. Yeah. So there happens to be a whole deal in the Rishonim. Is this Xerah Shava Mufne or not Mufne? Which means is it really open on both sides? Is there other things learned from it? I'm not going to get into it. But let's continue on the Gemara. Get some more Geshmak. Frank the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Maskefor of Ada Barava. Mimai, how do you know? Dichikomizahu Yakul Vibaneho. Altsinim upachim, the B'dei Shemayim denu. Says the Gemara, what was Yaakov worried about? He was telling Yehuda, maybe an asan will happen to my son. Well, asan, so the Gemara thinks, tsinim upachim. Very cold, very hot today. We had extreme weather the last couple of days. He was afraid that en route to back to Mitzrayim from Eretz Canaan, something, weather based will happen to him. Fred the Gemara, and therefore, that was his concern. So you see, the word asan means B'dei Shemayim. Maybe what he was worried about was that there'll be a lion or a robber, which is not Shemayim, that's Bezdin. That's human involvement. Next line, Seth. We're going to get to the next line in a second. So the Gemara asks, Otu, Yaakov, aho is dar, aho lo is dar. You think Yaakov had a cheshbon? I'm only afraid that he may die from a heart attack, pollution, hot weather and cold weather. But lions and tigers and bears, I'm not worried about. So I think, well, no, I'll call me Eliezer. He was worried about everything. You tell me tzinim and pachim is something that's called B'dei Shemayim? V'atan we learned the Braisa, I'll call B'dei Shemayim. Everything is from Hashem. Chutz mitzinim upachim. Except for the cold and the heat. Now we'll see. But then the next week, there's a big machoikis we're showing what this means. What does it mean, I'll call B'dei Shemayim, chutz mitzinim upachim? It means everything is heavenly sent. You can't control it. It's destined to happen, except cold and heat. You can control cold and heat. You can control not getting cold. You can control not being hot. You open up, you don't want to get sick in the winter, wear a coat. Bundle up. Put on a sweater. Like your mother told you when you were a kid, right? You don't want to get heat exhaustion, so stay in an air-conditioned room and drink well. But you can't run away from a heart attack. That's it. It's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can't run away from corona. You can't run away from the flu. Hashem says you're going to get it, you're going to get it. It's a very loaded question, very loaded Gemara, right? Definitely beyond what I usually talk about here in the Sunday morning Shurim. But it is Machloki Shurim to Rashi and Tais is what this means. Rashi, let's take a look again. I apologize, we have to be jumping from back to front. Rashi says, what does it mean? So at Rashi, Tzinim Upachim Kor V'Choim, the cold and the heat. You can stay, you can prevent your whole life from ever getting a sick. You can say, you can prevent ever getting a cold. Bidei Shemayim, in Bo Peronius Al Adam, if bad things happen to a person, Gzeiras HaMelechu, it's heavenly sent. That's it. You can't run from it. It's going to happen. Chot Mitzinim Upachim, Shepa'amim, Sheba'im Bipshia. Sometimes. But sometimes not. Which means, according to Rashi, every other ailment in the world is heavenly sent. You can't run from it. Hot and cold? Depends. Sometimes, yes, sometimes not. So according to Rashi, sometimes a cold is taka noinish. And sometimes a cold is just negligence. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. We're going to see Taisus is not like that. Taisus says, no. Cold and heat is always negligence. It's never heavenly sent. Hashem, like Kaviyachol, took a step back. It's all up to you. It's all about you. Rashi says very clearly, not like that. Rashi says, pa'amim, on occasion. Which means sometimes you can't run from the cold. Sometimes you could. Okay. So says the Gemara, let's go back to the Gemara for a second. How do you know? Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz m'tzinim pachim. Shenema, tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh. Tzinim pachim, shoymer nafsha yichak mehem. If a person wants to guard himself from it, he can run away from it. So that's the Gemara's first kasha. The Sufet Gemara, another kasha. Aryeh v'ganvi b'dei adam ninu. Is it so simple that lions and ganavim come from b'dei adam? Avam Reb Yosef v'chein ton Reb Chiyim miyoyim shechar b'esim ikdash. From the day that the b'esim ikdash was destroyed, af al pisha bitlu Sanhedrin, even though Sanhedrin was no longer active, arba misas loy batlu. The four capital punishment deaths were not put to rest. They're still active. In fact, the Gemara, loy batlu? Ha batlu? Of course they were batlu. There's no Misa Bidei Adam anymore. There's no Misa Bezdim when Bezdim was closed. Elo din arba Misa Slei Bastu. The concept of the four death penalties were not bought. What does that mean? Zakti Mar Misha is Chayef Skila. Let's say a person doesn't act that he's Chayef Skila. Oy Noifim and Agag. He will fall from a roof. Oy Chayef Dor Sosei. Or an animal will attack him. U Misha is Chayef Sreif and someone is Chayef Sreif. Oy Nofabat the lake off. Fall into a burning fire. Oy Nochash Machisha. A snake will bite him. Misha is Chayef Arig. Someone is supposed to be strangled. Oy nimstal malchus, he'll be given over to the government. The government will strangle him. Oy listen barnolov, umishes chayev chenek. Oy tova benar, oy meis besan churi. So the Gemara is saying all these things are still applicable. They're still now. This is a very scary Gemara because people read this Gemara and they say, "Oh, I remember X and Y died this way. Oh, it must be he's chayev misa." That's not. I don't want us walking away from this Gemara with that mindset. We'll see why not. We'll see the Rishayim talk about it. But that's what the Gemara says. Now, what about chayve malchus? Is that still around? Even though there's actually no. No Bezdin? What about Gullus? Is there still Gullus today, even though there's no active Gullus today? So we'll see Takim before Hashem say.
That would be another question. I mean, the fact that we can't do it anymore doesn't mean that the Averas don't exist and that.
Right, but so the most of us would assume the moment Bezdin closed, so then Bezdin can't. So,
okay, we know that, but it doesn't mean it went away.
So now the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is saying that Hashem now picked up the slack and does it himself.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of having Bezdin do it, Hashem will do it with his own actions. So back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, when a lion attacks a person, that's not coming from Bezdin, that's coming from Hashem. So now everything is considered to be Bidei Shemayim.
But
so,
is it because of Karis, or is it because Hashem took over from Bezdin?
We might not know. We might not know anymore, right? We won't know anymore why a person is getting a certain punishment. So how does the Gemara end off? Says the Gemara, I'll switch it around. Arye v'gandvi b'dei shemayim, enachrami, being attacked from a lion and from a ganav, that's taka b'dei shemayim. That's heavenly sent because of something a person did wrong. Tzinim u'pachim b'dei adam. Tzinim u'pachim is taka b'dei adam. So therefore, when Yaakov warned, what was Yaakov worried about? Yaakov was not worried about the things that are b'dei adam, he was worried about the things which are b'dei shemayim. Because b'dei adam you can protect somewhat. B'dei shemayim are not protectable. So we're going to have to believe that to finish up this Gemara next week, and then we're going to go weiter to back to the Lomdisha stuff, which we'll hopefully get to. But there's some nekudos over here I want to talk about. Interesting stuff over here in the Rishonim about is there still Gullus today? Is in the world that Hashem took over the punishments, maybe Hashem took over Gullus also. I'm all you meet people that move around and they jump around a lot. So maybe that's a chayit, maybe that's Gullus. Hashem says you got to move around a lot. You join this community, that community, right?
Well, it depends if you're in Kiruv or
even that. We'll have to get to that. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem next week.